Good morning, honorable members, the department and our
recording in progress.
Committee staff and everyone who is interested, as an interested party in this meeting. Let me welcome you. I'm not sure, I'm trying to check the delegation from the department. I can't see the minister. I will and the deputy minister, but if they are present, let me welcome them. I will assume that for now the delegation is led by the acting DG, Ms. Kamete. If I'm making a mistake, my apologies. Can I check, are there any apologies?
Good morning, honorable members and the guests. Sir, we've got apology from the minister. He's attending the cabinet meeting, and the DM will join us shortly. She's on the flight. So the honorable is chair, thank
you. Okay. Please, because I'm also in transit, I will try and not to save the network. I will, at least you have seen, I'm still myself in full. But let me reinforce the network. Arif, what are we dealing with today?
There we go, Chair. There's the program.
Yes, it has through.
Briefing by the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy on the annual performance plan and budget vote for 2022-2023. And then we'll also get a briefing by the Mine Health and Safety Council on the annual performance plan and budget for 2022-2023 financial year, Chair. And then we'll also consider and adopt the outstanding minutes of 1 April 2022, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. That's what we'll be dealing with. I'm sure then, Mete, you will be able to take us through, and then when the deputy minister has arrived, we will see, or you will see where we can slot her, yeah? And then subsequently, we will continue to proceed with the meeting. Safe to say, honorable members, unfortunately, by the nature of the programming of Parliament, we had to make the adjustment, which we also did bring to the committee's attention, and have to work around the clock. We will still be dealing with other matters after the House sitting today, but we will deal with that when we are in that meeting. We are trying to meet the deadlines that have been given to us in terms of the parliamentary program or reviewed parliamentary program. And having said so, let me then give to Mac Kamede, based on the apology received. Safe to say, I hope you read the guidance that we provided with regards to the presentation of your annual performance plan as well as the budget proposal. Let me give it to you, DMRE.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, our DDGs, and our managers, and I just also have to relate that I think we have a few apologies. We have Ms. Msongo, who will be joining us later, and then I think Mr. MCs as well, I think is also not available and is being represented by Mr. Mbonambi. Our presentation, Honorable Chairperson, the layout thereof is that of our executive summary, the annual performance plan, as well as the budget allocation. I'll go through the executive summary of the DMRE, which says that our 22-23 annual performance plan outlines the outputs towards the realization of the outcomes and impact statements reflected in the MTSF 2019-2024 Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan and the Strategic Plan. The outputs contained in the APP are aligned to the budget program structure and allocation from National Treasury. The development of the annual performance plan is informed by government planning frameworks and departmental strategic planning process. As you may be aware, honorable members, Cabinet declared a national state of disaster in response to the recent floods, which have caused extensive social and economic damage in KZN and parts of the Eastern Cape. The effect of damage to houses, businesses, roads, bridges, water, electricity, rail, telecommunications, and port terminal infrastructure will not only economically compromise the affected provinces, but would also affect the country as a whole. With this said, this will, to some extent, have an impact on the delivery of some of our planned programs and initiatives. Our key priorities of 22 and 23 is that of to implement all legislation that was approved by Cabinet before end of March 2022, to develop and review existing legislation to encourage investment, growth, and transformation in the mining and energy sectors, to promote the establishment of an independent transmission company under Eskom Holdings, to improve the turnaround time of licensing of mining permits, mining rights through the procurement of the new ICT infrastructure and system, to finalize the governance framework for the coordination of nuclear new build program and multi-purpose reactor, to improve nuclear safety, liabilities and emergency management by finalizing pre-feasibility study for the procurement of a centralized interim storage facility, to continue to implement various energy interventions in the IRP 2019 to improve an energy infrastructure and increase access to more affordable energy, to implement and monitor OHS improvement strategy to promote health and safety in the mining sector, and to roll out of liquid petroleum gas, LPG, as an alternative energy source, and to expedite the process of rationalization of DMRE's SOEs to ensure that they are aligned to achieve the developmental objectives and improve performance efficiency and strengthen governance structures and their effectiveness to achieve a clean audit outcome in this financial year. That's our executive summary and our key priorities. I will then request Mr. Mlauzi then to present our annual performance plan as well as our budget allocation. Mr. Mlauzi, can you assist us with that? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, DG, Chairperson, and members of the Portfolio Committee. I will go through the purpose of our programs, their functions and targets. The first program that we have, Chair and members, is the administration. It comprises of corporate services, the ministry, risk management and finance, including internal audit services. Their role is to support leadership, is to support the department to fulfill its mandate. In terms of the functions, Chair, is to make sure that there is accountability on the finance environment of the organization. But we also, this program is also dealing with issues that relate with the identification as well as the assessment of risk within the objectives of the department. They also provide auxiliary support and security services to the organization. Human resources is also in this program, Chair. There is also a role done and located in this program that speaks to the oversight role of the department SOEs. Communications and media services is in program one, administration. Legal services, which provide advisory services to the ministry and the department, is also here. Information technology services is in program one as well. Now, Chair and members, in terms of the plan targets cumulatively in program one, is that we will ensure the reduction of wasteful and fruitless expenditure, but we'll also reduce irregular expenditure compared to where we come from, and make sure that we all endeavor to obtain an unqualified audit opinion. Cases that are reported, incidents of fraud and corruptions, will strive to make sure that we resolve them and ensure that our SOEs do have the shareholder compact and corporate plans approved. But also more than that, the SOEs must also submit and have their annual performance plans approved and tabled in Parliament by the executive authority. They must also submit their quarterly reports, all the SOEs, to monitor and review performance, but also we will then require them to submit their annual reports. And there is also the target that speaks to us to say we must pay all the invoices received from service providers within 30 days. The next program, Chair, is program number two, which is Minerals and Petroleum Regulation. They stand to regulate the mining, minerals, and petroleum industry. In terms of their functions, they manage the administration and evaluation of prospecting and mining rights. They also ensure technical, economic, and legal compliance and enforcement in line with the Petroleum Products Act. They also manage enforcement and compliance in the mining activities. They manage petroleum licensing processes to ensure security of fuel supply in the country, but also provide specialized empowerment transaction assessment service. They also render a specialized administration and information service. In terms of the targets that they have, 4,000 jobs will be enabled through the issuing of mining rights and petroleum licenses, but also 120 SLPs projects will be completed. It goes also to 212 SLP inspections conducted by this program, 150 legal compliance inspections conducted, 500 mining economics inspections done, 1,275 environmental inspections completed in terms of the charter, but also 1,500 retail site compliance inspections done, 1,080 fuel samples will be tested, 120 of rights and permits will be granted, but and issued to historically disadvantaged controlled entities. This is the third program, Chair and members, which is the Mining, Minerals and Energy Policy Development Program. They stand to develop integrated minerals and energy policies to promote transformation, investment and sustainable development in the mining and energy sectors. In terms of functions, they support and manage the dissemination of information and publications. They provide policy and legislative frameworks for the minerals and energy sectors. They promote minerals development and advises on trends in the mining and energy sectors to attract investment. But they also promote economic growth and attract investment into the two sectors. They also ensure the security of minerals, resources, and energy supply through planning. Their targets are as follows, Chairperson, is that the petroleum product bill will be submitted to Cabinet for approval to table in Parliament. The mine health and safety bill will be submitted to Parliament. The National Petroleum Company bill will also be submitted to Parliament. The precious metals bill will be gazetted this year for comments. The Diamond Amendment bill will be gazetted also for comments. And that there will be amended section 75 and 76 and 77 of MPRDA will be gazetted for implementation. A report on economic viability of shale gas exploration will be produced. Jewelry and battery minerals value chain implementation plans will be approved. Three investment promotions events will be hosted. We'll also participate in six of them. The National Nuclear Regulator Bill will be submitted to Cabinet, but there is also the Radioactive Waste Management Fund Bill, which will be submitted to Cabinet for tabling in Parliament. Continuing with the targets for Program 3, a gas regulations will be gazetted for public comments, electricity pricing policy review submitted to Cabinet, but also the ERA bill will be submitted to Cabinet for tabling in Parliament. A gas master plan, Chair, will be submitted to Cabinet for approval, but also a socio-economic baseline report will be approved by the executive authority. A report on the implementation of the greenhouse gas emissions framework will be produced, and that will have four approved and registered carbon offset projects. Quality publications will be published. Four annual energy stats report will be published as well. Progress reports on agreed areas of collaboration and cooperation will be implemented, and that will also conclude one new agreement. 10 progress reports on multilateral strategic partnerships will be produced. I proceed, Chair, to program number 4, which is mine health and safety inspections. They stand to execute the department's mandate and safeguard the health and safety of mine employees, nearby communities, and people affected by mining activities. Their functions is to promote health and safety, contribute to skills development and transformation, implement service level agreements, develop and review internal processes, improve turnaround times in terms of the issues reported to them, promote corporate governance within the mine health and safety environment. In terms of their target, we'll strive to reduce occupational fatalities, but also do reduction with regard to occupational injuries. That equally goes to occupational diseases. We will investigate all the incidents that have been reported, but also ensure that inquiries are completed in time. 8,000 of qualitative inspections will be conducted. We'll produce the Mine Health and Safety Annual Report and submit to Parliament. We will ensure that identified SLAs entered into to improve health and safety mining are done, and ensure that we adhere to prescribed timeframes for inspections of mines appeal. We will also ensure that there's adherence to prescribed timeframes for medical appeals, adherence to prescribed timeframes for MPRDA applications also. We do also conduct administration of government certificate of competency exams. This is program number 5, Chair, which is programs and projects. They stand to manage, coordinate, and monitor the minerals programs and projects. In terms of the functions, they oversee the National Electrification Program, oversee programs and projects focused on the development, improvement, transformation of electricity generation, transmission, and distribution. But they also provide strategic guidance on environmental management and climate change, and also do the energy-related advice and services. This program also advances energy efficiency and ensure integration into mainstream energy supply in South Africa. In terms of their targets, Chair and Honorable Members, we will issue a request for proposal for 513 megawatts from storage. Also issue request for proposal of 2,600 megawatts, that is for bid window number 6 from renewable energy. An RFP will also be requested for 1,600 megawatts from renewable energy, that is bid window number 7. Also issue request for proposal for 1,500 megawatts from coal. RFP for 3,000 megawatts issued from gas, but also issue concurrence to NERSA for Section 34 determination in line with the IRP. An approved renewable energy master plan will be produced, 15,000 additional households electrified through nine grid technology, 4 reports on the mining and verification of the implementation of grid electrification of additional 2,000 households by ESCOM and contracted municipalities. The INEP master plan will be developed for the following provinces: KZN, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northwest provinces. We'll also produce, Chairperson, one mine management plan and implementation thereof, but also 3 derelict and ownerless mine sites will be rehabilitated. In terms of the planned targets for Program 5 is that 0.5 terawatt per hour savings, quarterly reports on the planning, implementation and monitoring of energy efficiency demand side management projects will be done. Quarterly reports on the planning, implementation, monitoring of the achieved 0.0196 terawatt savings by energy efficiency demand side management grant participation will participate those in the municipalities. The mining sector women empowerment and gender equality strategy and implementation plan will be drafted. 4 quarterly reports on the implementation of energy sector empowerment and gender equality strategy and gender policies frameworks will be done. 20% of the preferential procurement of qualifying women, youth, people with disabilities from allocated projects in INEP will be done. 30 small scale miners empowered, 10 women-owned small-scale miners also empowered, draft mining sector youth strategy and implementation plan produced, draft youth in the energy strategy and implementation plan produced. It is now the last program, Chair and Honorable Members, which is the nuclear branch. They stand to manage the South African nuclear energy industry and control nuclear material in terms of international obligations. In terms of their functions, they implement nuclear energy policies to ensure security of energy supply. But they also manage and coordinate the implementation of the nuclear program and all matters relating to nuclear safety and technology as required by legislation. This branch is also responsible for the control to control nuclear material, equipment and related technologies, and implement all matters related to nuclear non-proliferation and radiation security. They also implement the technical cooperation program and promote utilization of nuclear technology. They lead the SA's global participation in promoting nuclear research, development, and technology application for peaceful use. In terms of their targets, Chair and Members, is that the request for proposal for the procurement of the 2,500 megawatts nuclear program will be done. 4 monitoring reports of Kuiberg's plant life extension plan will be done through the oversight committee. A feasibility study for the central interim storage facility will be completed and submitted to cabinet for approval. A draft feasibility study on the multi-purpose reactor will be completed and submitted for gateway review. Nuclear authorization applications will be processed within the prescribed timeline. Nuclear safeguard compliance reports will be approved. Nuclear security compliance report on inspections conducted will be produced. A draft country program framework for 2024-29 will be developed. An annual report on the technical cooperation program will be produced, but also monitoring report on the AFRA program will be produced. Chair, this is the last presentation in terms of program performance. I'll revert back to DG for CFO to proceed with the finance.
Thank you, Chairperson. CFO, can you present us on the budget allocation for DMRE? Thank you.
Thank you, Acting DG. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Acting DG, DDGs and other colleagues in attendance. I'll present the budget over the MTF period. The slide in front on the screen at the moment, the first column is 21-22 financial year. That was the first budget for the Department of DMRE, which was 9.2 billion. Chairperson and members, the budget of 9.2 billion was just a combination of both the ex-DMR and ex-DOE budgets just combined without much adjustments. In 22-23, the budget goes up substantially to 10.3 billion, and it's mainly in program 5, which takes a big share of the budget, which is 6.8 billion, followed by nuclear of 1.1 billion. But most of the funds within these programs are allocated to transfer payments to our entities and implementing agents. Third column is 23-24. The budget is 10.6 billion, goes up as well. Also an increase from 23-24 into 24-25, it goes up to 11.2 billion. Chairperson, our MTF period is from 22-23 going over to 24-25. That's a 3-year cycle. And over the 3-year cycle, we anticipated to receive 32.2 billion. The reason I say anticipated, the two outer years, that's the next financial year and the following year, are indicative budgets. You can move to the next slide. Thank you. Chairperson, the very same budget that we have discussed in terms of, so please go back. In terms of the budget, 21-22 is the 9.2 billion, and it's split between the economic classifications of compensation of employees and subsidy payment for capital assets and payments for financial assets. In 22-23, April, we have 10.3 billion employees. We have 1 billion. Under goods and services, we have 1 billion. And you can see from 21-22, it was 876 million. That's the financial year that closed. This year, we have 1 billion. There's a big jump. And the big jump is mainly due to a special allocation, and it's a once-off allocation for ITC infrastructure upgrade, which includes the mining application system. We received an additional 84 million. And the IPP office, we have received 114 million for operational purposes, mainly for project preparation. Costs will be covered there. Transfers and subsidies have also gone up from 7.3 billion to 8.2 billion. In this financial year, and I will give a breakdown of those transfers. Payment for capital assets have gone down from 19 to 13.4, and that brings us to our 10.3 billion for this financial year. In the next financial year, it's 10.6, and the following financial year, it's 11.2. But Chairperson, if you will cast your eye across the slide, you'll see in under compensation of employees, we have marginal increases. With the merger, we expected to show a downward trend in terms of headcount. goods and services, we had a jump only in 22-23, which was the once-off allocation. The outer 2 years, we come down flat eventually, back to our original baseline of 21-22 with slight adjustments as well. Transfers and subsidies, 7.3 billion for last financial year. It becomes 8.2 billion in this financial year. Next year, it's 8.7. It goes up. And the last financial year, 24-25, it's also proposed to increase to 9.2 billion. Payments for capital assets starts with 19.4 million, goes down to 13.4 million, increases in the following year, that's 23-24, by 14.3 million. And in the outer last financial year of the MTF cycle, it's increased to 22.4 million. I'll move over to the next slide. Chairperson, okay, I've covered the commentary. On the slide, which is fairly busy, Chairperson, it's all the details on the transfers. And the only thing that I would want, I will do the entities separately for transfers. But just on this slide, I would like to show in the financial year of 23-24, that's the second column, that's this financial year, we have 8.7 billion. Of the 8.7 billion, a substantial amount, in fact, the lion's share goes to INEP ESCOM, which is 3.8 billion, followed by INEP municipalities of 2.2 billion. So that is in the main is the biggest increases that we've had and the biggest budget allocation from the transfers of 8.7 billion. If you'd move to the next slide, please. Chairperson, this is just the entities, the allocation over the MTF period. SAD PMR gets 192 million. PASA gets 282 million. Mintec gets 985 million. CGS gets 1.5 billion. And the main reason for their 1.5 billion is for operational costs and some funding for geological mapping for mining exploration. Mine health and safety, 14 million. Sanedi, 247 million. Nexa, which gets the biggest share of transfers to our entities of 2.9 billion over the full MTF period, that's 3 years. And Nexa gets this funding for its operational costs, some for its operational cost, for capital requirements, and a once-off allocation of 40 million in 22-23 for the prep work for the new multipurpose reactor project. And the balance of the funding goes for decommissioning and decontamination of past strategic nuclear facilities. NNRs will receive 143 million over the MTF period and NRADI 153 million. Over the entire period, we have 6.6 billion for all our entities for the 3 years under the MTF period. Mintec will receive, as I mentioned, up of 985 million, mainly for their operations. And it also includes funding for the expanded public works incentive scheme. The remaining entities, apart from the top three that I've mentioned, which is Nexa, CGS, and Mintec, will receive 15.6% of the remaining budget of the 6.6 billion. On this slide, Chairperson, it's just isolating the 22-23 financial year, that's this financial year that we commenced on 1 April. For the 10.3 billion that we've been allocated for this year, under compensation of employees, we have 1 billion. Goods and services, 1 billion. Transfers and subsidies, 8.2 billion. And capital assets, 13.4 million. And across, these are allocations by program. And if we look across, as I've mentioned earlier on as well, program 5 gets the biggest allocation. And it's mainly in the transfers. If of the 6.8 billion it has for the full financial year, 6.2 billion goes towards transfers. Nuclear energy and regulation management, full financial year is 1.1 billion, but there's a big portion of 1.1 billion that goes to NEXA and NNR, which is included in that 1.1 under transfers and subsidies. Chairperson, I've covered some of this commentary, that the full budget allocation for 22-23 is 10.3 billion, and the remaining budget of 8.3 billion is for specifically earmarked for programs, and the remaining budget of 2.1 billion covers the compensation of employees and goods and services. The programs and projects branch receives the biggest share of the baseline, with a total allocation of 6.8 billion, mainly for electrification program, solar water heating program, mining rehabilitation and water ingress projects, energy efficiency and demand side management, and non-grid monitoring and evaluation, and the electrification master plan and funding for the IPP office. Followed by the nuclear branch, which I mentioned, covers NEXA, NNR, and Andrade in terms of the transfers, and the remaining 2.3 billion goes to the, is shared by the other four programs to be utilized by various regulatory compliance inspections, office accommodation, leases, ICT costs, including investment in the new IT system. With that, I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. This is the presentation for DMRE around their annual performance plans and the budget allocation. We'll then ask Mine Health and Safety Council to do their presentation of their APP as well as their budget allocation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, Chairperson.
Yes, Honourable Madam.
Chairperson, could I ask that we deal with each presentation individually? Otherwise, we end up not being able to interrogate it as comprehensively as we need to.
We can do that if that's what is the feeling of the committee, but we must know by 1 o'clock we must be done. And there might be others who may end up not presenting at all, which will be worse than what we are saying. That's my only dilemma.
Chair?
Yes, Honourable Mylem.
I hear your concern, Chair, and I'd rather that we rescheduled an additional meeting for other people to present than that we not interrogate these presentations as thoroughly as we should, given that our duty as parliamentarians is to conduct oversight over the department. Thank you, Chair.
I really don't have a problem with it, but it doesn't mean when you apply, you will get it. You remember, I did present to the committee the letter written that we've got only a Tuesday and a Wednesday. The reason we even had to do the provision of another meeting after the House sitting today, it was based on the fact that we needed to finalize this thing. Unfortunately, when I don't sit in the programming, and that's what I've been saying to all of us in the committee, that can we persuade our principals that when they give a parliamentary program, it should fit what the work of the committee is capable of doing. I can sit with that. I don't have a problem with it. But my main worry is that if we don't get that time, remember, we still have to adopt this report, one. Two, we still have to prepare time before the debate in the budget votes. But let me get here. What is the view of other members? I don't. The difficulty with a committee is when it puts its work on a process of uncertainty. That is my only issue. Can I get other members? What is their views,
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair,
Lorema here. I see the hand of Honourable Lorema. Is there any other hand?
Yes, Chair.
I see the hand of Honourable Malinga. Is there any other hand? Okay, Honourable Lorema.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I support the idea that we get to interrogate each of these program by program. I do believe that we're all aware of the time constraints, and we can all be as brief as possible. But I do think it's very important that we perform proper oversight, and this is the way to do it.
Hello, Malin.
Good morning. Greetings to yourself, members of the portfolio committee and the department, everybody on the platform. Chair, I beg to differ. Can we conclude with MHC? Then we take DMRE and MHS. I don't think that's a change measure. Thank you very much.
Okay. Is there any other contrary view? Honorable Matobe.
Thank you, Chair. I also wanted to say, can we just get all the reports and then we note whatever we want to ask from each and then interrogate afterwards?
We're going to deal with Man Health and Safety Council, isn't it?
Yes, Chair.
If we take this principle, honorable members, it means for each presentation, and I'm tempted without making a ruling, but I was tempted to say, let's take the route that and see what are the consequences of the, because it will mean for each and every presentation that will be made, each entity, we will still have to follow the same pattern. I assume that's what it is being suggested. For every item, I don't want to say I could be opposed, but my main worry is when we take a decision, Honorable Lorima says, if we take the decision, we can be brief. That's exactly what is very, for me, I would argue and say that's what would be very dangerous. Not to do what you are supposed to do, because you have to be brief in order to the next item. Even to vote for that, or can members allow me to make a ruling or to I thought
it is my gazette.
Do we have to vote for it, honorable members?
Yeah, I think you have been speaking alone for some time.
Okay. Oh, is that so? Sorry. Yeah, no, yeah. I'm saying, if it was for me, I don't think either of those are more fundamentally wrong. They are both correct. The issue is the preference. Do we have to vote for the preference? The reason I was saying is that it means each and every item that we are having now is going to be... Do you hear me now? Hello?
Yes.
Now, I'm saying, if we follow that vote, does that mean now each and every, with the entities that are coming, because we have always been doing it that way, for each and every entity that is coming, we will go the route of each entity presenting and then asking questions until we are satisfied, and then we go to the other entity and we know how cumbersome it is. one. Two is that it means it's not, there's no difference. We're not differing on the issue of questions. The issue is a preference. Do we need to vote on the preference that we have? Thirdly, I was saying, Honorable Lorema is saying we must be short, and I'm saying short could be 5 to 3 minutes. If it's 3 minutes, it means that will be 33 of the 11 members present, and 55 if it is 5 minutes of the 11 members present. I just need the guidance. Do we have to go on a vote on this matter on the preference? Because now, don't want to say there are motions. I'm saying there are views or preferences. Do we have to go for a vote for that? Can someone please help me?
Chairman.
Chair.
Chairperson.
Yes, sir. That Honorable Machado, yes.
Oh, thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to you and greetings to honorable members and the department. Chair, I think we have an established principle that we have been following for quite some time, which has proven to work with the limited time that we have or allocated to us. I am afraid that if we were to move from that principle, and I understand the concern is to maximize the time on one presentation so that we get value for our time and money. But in the past, we arrived to this principle because we would interrogate one presentation at a time and not get to the second one or the third one, and it has proven to be unworkable. I suggest that we go with the established principle until such time that we are successful in asking for additional time in Parliament. Thank you very much.
The problem I'm saying there are two. Do we have to vote for the preference? There are two views, except if there is someone who says fine, I can, let me be honest. The argument that, yes.
I was trying to avoid a situation where we vote because the two views are correct. They just have different circumstances that may make us, I don't think we must even try and divide the house on this thing. That's why I'm making that argument. I'm avoiding a situation where we are divided on the matter.
So what should I do?
I've made a proposal, Chair, a new proposal.
Chair, if I may?
Yes, Honorable Mylan.
Chairperson, I'll go with that if that's the feeling of the committee, but I would like our objection to this to be noted, especially when it comes to the departmental budget and reports, because that's where we really need to dig deep. And when we cluster it all together with Mine Health and Safety and MinTech and CGS and. Sorry, Chair, there's a lot of noise in the background. I don't know whose mic is open.
Continue.
Thank you, Chair. So when it all gets clustered together, then we don't really get proper answers from the department, or we don't get an opportunity to dig deep enough into the departmental budget and reports. So I'm happy to proceed as you've, well, I'm not happy, but I will proceed in the manner that you've suggested. I would just like our objection and concern to be noted. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, okay, I get you now, Honorable Mylan. My take was that the principle we agreed before was that because there is a section in the department's presentation on a program called Mine Health and Safety. Then there was an agreement that Mine Health and Safety Council, as an implementing arm or supposedly an implementing arm of Mine Health and Safety, it should go together and must come immediately after Mine Health and Safety
as a program of the department. That is why it's always treated, we have always been treating it like that. But the rest, we can't go to any other, if you look at the program. We will only go to the next of other entities after we have done with the department. But we've always been treating Mine Health and Safety Council as part of the program of the department. I don't think it's only that one that is included on the department. There is no other one. Can we live with that until such time we agree whether we need to review that decision that we took as a committee? I had thought you were saying every item must be dealt with separately. I think if I got you wrong, my apologies. Can we agree then that we will use the normal way, only Mine Health and Safety Council will be included, and then we'll go to the department so that we can see the synergy. That's what we said, that we needed to see the synergy between these two. Otherwise, in most cases, we used to talk about Mine Health and Safety in the department. When we come to Mine Health and Safety Council, we get a different report compared or in comparatively, they don't go together. That's when we took that decision that we'll put them together. Can we then allow Mine Health and Safety Council, and then we'll go to questions of clarity and comments?
Thank you, Chairperson. Can we have Mine Health and Safety Council do their presentation? Thank you, Chairperson.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the PPC. Can I share the presentation? I see I've been disabled on this side.
You may continue.
Okay. Good morning again, Chairperson and members of the PPC and the members of the Mine Health and Safety Council. My presentation is going to cover the introduction, the mandate, the vision, mission, goals and values, the tripartite partnership, the summary of the APP, and the focus areas for 2022-2023. I'll go into detail in those focus areas, and then I'll also talk a little bit about the budget, and I'll invite the CFO to talk additional issues on the budget as well. And then the last thing will be the conclusion. As an introduction, Mine Health and Safety Council is committed still to improve health and safety of mine workers and nearby communities, as well as all other communities affected by mining. Our focus area for this year in particular will include prevention of fall of ground, prevention of transport accidents, prevention of noise-induced hearing loss, prevention of occupational lung diseases, as well as TB and HIV/AIDS. The advances in technology improving health and safety is very important to us, and we stress this point because we also believe that advancing technology should not mean that we're losing jobs in the sector. And we also promote that the sector must actually upskill employees in terms of these technologies. The third part is the Mine Health and Safety Council continues to review the guidelines, code of practice for the prevention, mitigation, and management of COVID-19 outbreak. And as an entity, we also promote and encourage government-led vaccination program. The increased participation of women in mining or in the mining industry is welcome, and we strongly support it. And in this year, we will put a lot of initiatives to ensure that women are healthy and they are safe and they are also protected while working in the mining sector. The Mine Health and Safety Council will be hosting the South African Mining Health and Safety Summit, which is a tripartite summit this year, where mining principals will review the state of health and safety in the South African mines. The main target for Mine Health and Safety Council is very well articulated on this slide in terms of vision, mission, goals, and values. And the key message here is zero harm, and zero harm to mine employees and communities affected by mining activities. And we do that or achieve that through the tripartite relationship between mine employers, mine employees, and the state. Our values are caring, integrity, respect, and accountability, and it's easy to remember by using the acronym CIRA. In terms of legislated mandate, our mandate is basically to advise the minister on all occupational health and safety issues in the mining industry, including legislation, research and promotion, to review and develop legislation for recommendation to the minister. And in this case, we focus mainly on regulations. We also oversee research in relation to health and safety in the mining industry. We liaise with other bodies that are concerned with health and safety issues, and we promote health and safety culture in the mining industry. As indicated earlier, we do this in a tripartite relationship, which is the state, organized labor, and employer representatives. In terms of the APP, this is the summary of our APP for 2022-2023. Number one is to advise the minister on health and safety matters in the South African mining industry and affected communities. Number two is to promote the culture of health and safety in the mining industry, and we do that through communication, participation, and engagement of all OHS best practices. We also liaise with statutory bodies, strategic partners, and stakeholders on matters relating to occupational health and safety. In terms of the internal business processes, we want to focus on leveraging the fourth industrial revolution, which is basically the advances in technology I've mentioned earlier. And in terms of learning and growth, we want to develop human capital practices that support our people so that they are highly skilled, they are motivated, and they are capable employees within the as employees, also in terms of advisory committees and also the council as a whole. In terms of financial, we would like to ensure financial sustainability of mine health and safety council, and also ensure that efficient and effective financial management. Now, just to drill down on the focus areas for 2022-2023, number one, prevention of fall of ground through the CETM, Mine Health and Safety Council is facilitating.
Can you hold on a bit, Ms. Kamete, please, can you help me? The presentation, I can't see it.
I was going to say this, Chair. I thought I was the only one.
We can't see the presentation.
Okay, let me try to share it again. I thought it was shared. Let me just go back and check.
Yes, please.
Can we see it now?
Yes, we can see it now.
Okay, sorry about that. Thank you very much. So in terms of drilling down to the focus areas for 2022-2023, prevention of fall of ground, through the CETM, Mine Health and Safety Council is facilitating the training of seismologists and rock engineers with partner institutions such as the CGS and the Wits University and the University of Pretoria. We also in this year are going to provide a guideline for the mitigation of geotechnical risks and also do research project that is currently underway in order to determine the average pillar stress pillars in platinum reefs, gold reefs, and other minerals. In terms of prevention of transport accidents, we're going to review the guideline for compilation of mandatory code of practice for trackless mobile machines. And then we're also going to implement the collision avoidance technology in the mining sector for specifically for diesel-powered machines. Okay. In terms of prevention of noise-induced hearing loss, Mine Health and Safety Council is disseminating the revised guideline for the compilation of mandatory code of practice for the occupational health program for noise. A workshop is going to be held this week on the 1st and the 5th. And in collaboration with the University of Pretoria, we're developing a camera which will assist the South African mining industry to achieve targeted silencing of machines to increase the effectiveness of analyzing moving noise sources and to prevent unauthorized modifications of machines. And this will lead to quieter machines, which in turn will lead to the elimination of noise-induced hearing loss and associated compensation for claims. The prevention of occupational lung diseases as well as TB and HIV/AIDS, we're going to be participating in the commemoration event, which will be taking place in December 2022. Mine Health and Safety will be reviewing the current airborne exposure limits in terms of Section 22.9A of the Mine Health and Safety Act to reduce exposure of employees to high-level airborne pollutants and reduce chances of employees developing occupational lung diseases. Mine Health and Safety Council is disseminating the following documents within the regional tripartite forums. And number one is a guidance note and HIV testing and HIV counseling and testing and also HIV management and control. Communities affected by mining activities. This year, we're going to focus on developing the minimum standards for protection of communities against ground vibration, against noise, air blast, and fly rock when conducting blasting operations. And this will be meant for explosive manufacturers and mining companies to comply with. The use of advanced technology, as I've indicated, number one, we're doing DigiMine, which is a strategic partnership with Vets University to develop drone technology focusing on the following areas, which are wireless communication systems, surveying, mapping, and navigation, health, safety, and security, integration for smart mining. In addition to that, we're going to be reviewing regulations dealing with rescue, first aid, emergency preparedness, and response. And in particular, we're going to be including the provisions for missing persons locator systems. And we hope to achieve this by the end of September 2022. In terms of prevention, mitigation, and management of COVID-19 outbreak in the South African mining industry, we continued with initiative to curb the spread of COVID-19. And number one, we're going to provide a guideline for the compilation of mandatory code of practice for the prevention, mitigation, and management of COVID-19. And we're going to continue to update that in line with the changes to the Department of Health and the Department of Employment and Labor. In terms of women in mining, we're going to review the PPE guideline, code of practice for women in mining. We're going to develop the gender-based violence framework guideline for the South African mining industry to assist with the elimination of gender-based violence by August 2022. We'll be hosting the Occupational Health and Safety Women in Mining Indaba again in August 2022 to deal with those issues, PPE, safety and security. And we continue to do research to improve working conditions for all genders in the mining industry. The Mine Health and Safety Summit, which is a tripartite summit in 2022, it will be held. And this will be probably for the first time in the past 2 or 3 years after COVID. And the 2022 summit will seek to review all the progress that we have made in the past few years in terms of achievements of milestones, which we agreed upon, and obviously in terms of how we actually move forward and improve them. The summit will also provide platforms for Tripartite Alliance to reflect and engage on our current year's occupational health and safety performance, which has somewhat regressed, and derive solutions that will assist the industry to improve the situation. The stakeholders will also recommit themselves to the achievement of zero harm, which is our key goal in the South African mining industry, and we continue to strive that every mine worker returns from work unharmed every day. And the messages we'll be putting in there will be the elimination of fall of ground, the transportation, prevention of transportation accidents in the mining industry. And the key one is obviously the right of employees to refuse to do dangerous work without them necessarily being victimized. We're also going to promote women in mining and eliminate gender-based violence and also COVID-19. In terms of the budgets, we've got a budget of about 120 million rands, and we've included the line items in terms of how we're going to spend it. And at this time, I would like to invite the CFO to further talk about this budget. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO, and good morning, honorable members and DG and the executive. The budget for MHSC, as the CEO has alluded to, is 120.5 million, which is broken down into mine levy income of about 112.9 million and state funding, which is a DMR allocation that we receive annually. And also the anticipated revenue as well will come from the global sports facility of about 2 million. And the finance income is the income on the positive bank balances of MHSC. And also under expenditure, we've got research and development of about 24.2 million and dissemination, that's our promotional items. It also includes the events, RTF, and also the expenditure linked to the club of sports is about 1 million. And under administrative expenditure of about 13.1 million, which includes just a few to mention, the insurance, the printing and stationery, consumables, catering, and all the bad debts linked to it, and also the depreciation and employee costs, and also internal and external audit fees of about 3.9 million. And we've also catered for the COVID to ensure that employees, they get the mask, and also for our tripartite stakeholders, especially the organized labor, and also the finance cost, which is linked to the transactions on the bank account of 50K. Thank you, CEO. Over back to you.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of the TPC. We are done on our side. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. That is the presentations from DMRE as well as Mine Health and Safety Council. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DMRE and Mine Health and Safety Council. Let me say this thing with extreme caution. DMRE, tomorrow you will say we are rude or whatever. I don't have a good word to choose, or we are unfriendly. It's a very not so good relationship to have. The CEO of, and if I'm wrong, my apologies. The CEO of Man Health and Safety Council, I hope it is the CEO. I don't remember hearing that there is a CEO. I don't know, maybe members were made aware. And now when the person comes for the first time in the committee and just presents, even in parliament, when a person is going to speak, you are told, even when that person would have many days in parliament, that is his or her maiden speech. Now, it will sound like we are such selfish people in this committee. When someone is not even introduced, there is no information that is even sent in advance, so that we can welcome the person, we can appreciate that there is a gap that has been closed. Just note the writer. I said, if I'm wrong, accept my apologies. But I don't remember being introduced, and even when he now appears in front of the committee, I've not heard that introduction of the person. Of the CEO. But let me first wait for the answer that I will get as my question or clarity seeking, and then I will do what I would think is a formal way of doing it. But as with the writer, accept my apology if you have done so. Maybe I'm used to you not doing so. But can I get the questions of clarity from honorable members that would want to raise the issues with regards to the presentation by the department with the addition. I will request, honorable members, as I said, in the event you want to touch to Mine Health and Safety Council, you are allowed to align it to the Mine Health and Safety program of the department. I see the hand of honorable Lorima.
I see the hand of Honorable Mylem. Is there any other hand? I see the hand of Honorable Malinga. Is there any other hand? I see the hand of Honorable Matogwe. Okay, can we do it like this then? It's going to be Honorable Lorima. It will be Honorable Malinga, it will be Honorable Matogwe, and then it will be Honorable Mylem. Can we do it like that? Can I take Honorable Lorima? I'll come back after you, Honorable Mylem. The rest will just come in and fit in.
Thanks, Chair. First question starts on slide 5, where it's, the department says, improve the turnaround time of licensing of mining permits, mining rights through the procurement of new ICT infrastructure and system. And then slide 11 says, we'll manage and the administration and evaluation of prospecting and mining rights. Now, is there any indication in your plans of when you intend to have cleared the mine license, the mineral licensing backlog? Do you have a deadline for clearing the backlog? Or is it contingent on getting a new cadastral system? In which case, when is your deadline for the implementation of the new cadastral system? So that's question one. Question two, slide 22. You have the intention of one mine water management plan implemented. Please expand on this. Explain what the plan is and what the mine is. Question three, slide 23. Assistance to 30 small-scale miners and 10 women-owned small-scale miners. Again, could you expand on this briefly? What exactly do you plan to do with those small-scale miners? Where do you plan to take them from, to where? How much will it cost? And very importantly, how do you pick which 30 small-scale miners you are going to give government help to? And then my fourth subject is, I don't see any mention of the exploration strategy. Is that now considered complete? What is the status of that strategy? And what next steps are planned in this regard? That's it, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thanks again, Chairperson. Mine chair is on Program 5 on the INF Master Plan. That is only developed for 6 provinces. If maybe I can be furnished with why only the 6 provinces that are mentioned here and not the rest of the provinces, or maybe it's not necessary for them. In terms of finances, Chair, we welcome the huge chunk that is going to CGS, Nexa, MinTech, as well as MHC. But with Nexa, Chair, I would really appreciate if more monitoring would be done, because given the financial state of that entity, it will really need a close eye on that one. On MHC, Chair, I don't understand when they say in terms of women, they are only talking about summit on gender-based violence. Are women in mining only worth summits? Worth changing their PPE? Maybe if they can clarify me on that one, Chair. What exactly is Mining Health and Safety Council have an idea when they talk about women in mining? What do they want to see women in mining achieving or be at whatever pedestal? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would love to welcome the report, and I think some of the questions from my colleagues as well have covered some of mine. But I just have a few questions directed at both the DMRE and MHSC. I'll start with the DMRE. I think the first one is just the overall on the report, understanding that, of course, now we're speaking about the annual performance plan. for 2022. But I'm also interested perhaps in what was the, in terms of like there are now, we have like targets and plans for the upcoming financial year. But I'm interested in previous targets that were presented to the committee. I would have expected perhaps the report to speak to that we had previously requested A, B, C, D, and E. These are the plans that we had wanted to make. These are the targets. These are the targets we're not able to meet, and this is why we're not able to meet them. And I'm also interested in whether the targets that were not met for the 2021-2022 performance plans have been rolled over to the current report. And I'm also interested in whether there's, because I don't see in the report, whether there will be any that speaks to the consequences rather for any of the entities or even the SOEs that have not been able to properly account or use the money that they asked for in the previous budget allocation. And then the second question, I just forgot the slide number, but it speaks on that the department will be intensifying its oversight role on all the department's SOEs. And even with that one, we have a situation where we have SOEs that are barely surviving currently. So what are the plans that are there in place over and above just oversight in terms of intervening with those SOEs? And then secondly, I think in some of the reports that we had when we were doing oversights previously, we heard from some of the entities that they've been submitting reports to the department, they've been asking for intervention so that they are not only able to survive, but they are also able to be self-sustaining without depending on government grants. And they are also able to jump into commercialization and be able to produce profits. But they've not necessarily been able to get reports or responses from the department. So what is going to be done differently right now to make sure that the necessary support that these entities and these SOEs need is there? And then I think the third question is also on the issue of mining rights and permits. I think it says 120, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm interested, it's either 120, 1,200. I just missed the numbers there in terms of the targeted mining rights and permits. But I'm interested, oh, it's 120. Thank you for that. So I'm interested in what is the backlog right now. If the target is granting 120, out of how many outstanding or how many that are still there that need to be approved, understanding as well that there has been a serious issue with backlogs of mining rights and all those things. And then the fourth question that I have, it goes to program number 3. On investment promotion events that the department plans to hold, understanding as well that South Africa recently was rated the world's 10th worst mining destination. So that being the case, it means that even investment might be, in fact, it's not even a matter of it might be, investment into South Africa's mining industry is heavily impacted, and such ratings do not do us any well. So in addition to the investment promotion events, what is being done by the department to make sure that the South Africa actually is noted as a mining destination that is worth investing in? Also noting the fact that it has actually been dropping in the previous years before it even got to the rating that it got right now. And then the final question is on the issue of the involvement of women in the mining sector, which is program number 5. I see there that the department is planning a mining sector women empowerment and gender equality strategy implementation plan that is yet to be drafted. So I'm interested in whether what is the current intervention currently, if they are still going to be drafting that. And it also speaks about 10 women-owned small-scale miners. And I'm interested in that one as well in terms of how are they going to be choosing those women. Also considering that there seems to be a prioritization of certain provinces over others. Is there any plan to make sure that all provinces are considered? And over and above that, when we're speaking about 10 women-owned scale miners, what does that speak to in terms of proportion of women owned mines just across our board? Those are my questions, Chair. And then I think on the issue of the MHSC, I was also interested in the mining summit and rather the composition of the mining summit, who gets to partake in that, and whether the workers themselves outside the unions that usually partake, whether they are able, because those are the people that actually feel the pressures, and they're actually the ones that get the firsthand experience of all the shortfalls of mining and health safety. So what is being done to actually make sure that their voices take center stage in the summits that are going to be taking place? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm going to limit my questions to the DMRE presentation. And if I could start on slide number 4. Chair, just give me one second. Slide 4, there we go. Chairperson, there's a statement there that Cabinet has declared a national state of disaster in response to the recent floods. And we've seen over the past couple of weeks the impact that those floods have had in terms of the delivery of fuel, particularly aviation fuel in the inland provinces and particularly OR Tambo. I'd like to know what contingency plans the department has made to address these kind of situations and how they intend to resolve the immediate crisis of a shortage of aviation fuel at OR Tambo. Then if we could go to slide number 5. Chairperson, about halfway down the page, it says, continue to implement various energy interventions in the IRP 2019. Now, IRP 2019 was approved in October 2019. It is already out of date, and it is supposed to be updated regularly. And I'd like to know what the department is doing to ensure that there is a process underway to update the IRP. As it appears now, it doesn't look like it's anywhere in the department's annual performance plan, and I think it's something that needs to be addressed as a matter of urgency. If we could then go to slide 15, Chair. Chairperson, I just want to pick up on something that Honourable Madokwe said. She spoke about the attractiveness of South Africa as a mining destination and how we were the 10th worst mining destination in the world for investment. I'd like to know whether the department has any plans to review the regulatory environment or to review what is causing the decline in South Africa's attractiveness as a mining destination, and if not, how they intend to rectify that matter. Then on slide 16, Chair, that was 15, 16. Yes, Chair. The electricity pricing review submitted to Cabinet for final approval, but I don't see anything here about the fuel pricing review, and this is something that has been on top of mind for every South African for the last couple of months, and I would ask that that be included in the annual performance plan, some kind of target for addressing the fuel pricing model. Chair, also on that slide about towards the bottom, it says one new agreement concluded, but that's very, very vague. I mean, what are we talking about? A new agreement about what? What do you want to achieve? And so I'd really like some clarity on that. If we could go to slide 22. Here it talks about various RFPs, and I'd like to start with the RFP for renewable energy. First of all, let me start by saying that I don't see any mention here of a conclusion of the RMIPP, and I'd like to know why that has not been included. I understand that the financial close has been pushed out again, and I'd like some clarity on that. I'd also like some clarity on the requirement for localization, and I'd like to know whether the department has had any discussions with the Department of Trade and Industry to address the localization requirements in the RMIPP and the renewable energy IPP. The reason I ask this is I have it on very good authority that at least two bidders in the RMIPP are perfectly willing to purchase from local manufacturers, but they are unable to obtain the product from them. And it's creating a problem in terms of reaching financial close because those suppliers do not have the necessary components, particularly in the solar sector, which has gone, solar manufacturing, component manufacturing sector, which has gone into something of a decline with the extended delay between bid window 4 and bid window 5. So I'd like to know whether there's any discussions taking place regarding localization and particularly reducing or amending the localization requirements for the RMIPP and the REIPP. Chairperson, if we could then go to slide 28. This is on budget allocations. The biggest percentage increase of any program is in Program 1, Administration, where the percentage increase is 16.5%. Now, I seem to understand from what the CFO was saying that this is primarily driven by leases and office accommodation. And if that's the case, I'd really like to know why there is such a big jump, why we require so much office accommodation, given that many people are working from home and the like. Then if we could go to slide 31, I have two questions here. The first is, there should be a comparative column in before the 2022-23 financial year so that we can see what was spent in 2021-22, just to give us a kind of a comparator that we can look at. I'm also curious, under administration, what is the meaning of the word household? I don't understand why we're transferring 2.4 million rand to households. What is the purpose of that? Chairperson, let me leave it there for now. Thank you very much.
Now you are allowed to raise even more of your questions, but let's first get the answers from the department. I've got my own. I'm going to reserve them for now. But can we give the department, except on one issue, just to add what the Honorable Mylem was raising, one would have assumed under administration that you will have a lesser spending instead of more spending on the grounds that with the merger of the two departments, one would have assumed that you have also consolidated your offices, you would have consolidated and regulated your regional staff. Now, when you see the increase in the manner that it says, it seems like instead of less spending, and you ended up spending more on administration, which one would have assumed. I will leave my next questions for now, based on the brief that was forwarded for the attention of this committee when we're making presentation. But can I give you, Mamu Kamede?
Thank you, Chairperson. I will ask a few DDGs to respond to some of these questions. In fact, all the questions. I will start with Mr. Makubela, DDG Mbele, Ms. Mwabe, and as well as the CFO about all the issues around the budget as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DG. Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, as well as the DG and the colleagues in the department and the staff of the committee. Let me start, honorable Lorima's question, Chair, the backlog. I think I wouldn't want to give a definitive date for clearing the backlog. We have as a target that by the end of this financial year, we should have cleared the backlog. However, I must indicate that some of the delays also come from the applicants themselves. So we do try as much as possible to clear as much of the backlog as possible. For example, in the last year and 2 months now, we have managed to clear 1,400 applications. But what then tends to happen, and this is not an excuse, is that of those 1,400, probably, half of them get appealed by the one that is has lost out, or someone who's trying to create mischief effectively. And this is what, to a large extent, is affecting the investment in mining. I think there are a number of appeals, our legal services would tell us, it's increasing. And for me, it is frivolous in most of the cases. And it's something that, will have to be looked into because I think it is deterring investment. We have set ourselves a target to clear all mining rights. And that we have made a lot of progress because we think those are the ones that will basically create the jobs. So we are now focusing, quite a lot on clearing mining rights, even those that are not in backlog, so that we can unlock, the jobs. On the issue of the cadastral system, the tender was issued, and I think the CIO, if she's in the meeting, can give more information. However, we know that the process now is sitting with the CETA. The information technology agency. We are waiting for them to come back to us in as far as the evaluation is concerned. Then on the issue of perhaps the 120 that was referred to by Honorable Matokwe, is that 120 is for SLP projects. It's not for applications. It's just the SLP project that we are going to ensure are completed during this financial year. On the jet fuel, Honorable Mylem, the reality is that we did have a challenge with jet fuel following the floods. What happened is that the Hammersdale rail was washed away, and at the time of it being washed away, the rail tankers were sitting on the other side, were sitting in KZN, and we therefore could not bring those across to particularly OR Tambo. Now what has happened is that we have looked into other areas in as far as supply is concerned. Two things are happening as we speak. There is jet fuel coming from Matola, which basically we managed to get rail tankers, and those were loaded, and there is jet arriving today from Matola. And then there is an injection of jet fuel into the pipeline, that has also happened over the weekend, and we do expect that things will get back to normal at OR Tambo during the course of this week. I must, though, indicate that at no stage did the OR Tambo go below 2.9 days of jet fuel. It's just that certain oil companies were not able to supply their customers. On the issue of the fuel price review, it is in our plan. Perhaps what I can indicate is that apart from the APP, we also have an operational plan, which Mr. Mulaudzi can talk to. So the regulatory accounting system review sits in the operational plan. It is an area of priority for us for this year. Then on perhaps just on the issue of the attractiveness of South Africa as a destination. We think that, we do need to engage with the Fraser Institute, because the CEOs of mining companies that we have spoken to actually do not understand how that conclusion could be reached. But I guess there are people that the Fraser Institute did consult. We do believe, though, that what happened in the country, which was televised, all over the world in as far as July last year, I think would have contributed as well to a perception. That's one. But the other one, of course, is that the delays in the main, I believe, due to these appeals that I talk about, they deter investment. And it is, as I indicated, something that we need to look into as to how we can at least discourage frivolous appeals from people who want to extract, rent from, investors, which they don't deserve. They actually, some of the appellants are bordering on criminality, because they do even indicate to the investors that if you pay us this, then we will drop the appeal. Those are some of the realities that we are having in the sector, and investors then get discouraged. Thank you, DJ. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, acting DG, and colleagues. I will respond to a number of questions. I will start with a question around the criteria or the process that we follow in terms of choosing who qualifies for the assistance under small-scale mining. The department has a process whereby small-scale miners are encouraged to apply to the department for assistance. And once the application is received, it's looked at by a committee. Once the committee has looked at the application, looking at the number of aspects, including the business case, then the committee makes a recommendation, and this recommendation goes to the IDC, who actually administers the grant for the department, and the IDC as well. They go and do another due diligence to make sure that where the money is going is going to be used for proper purposes. So there is a process and committees that determine who gets the assistance. I think in terms of the targets that we have, the targets are such that we making, for example, when we say that we're going to assist 40 small-scale miners because there's a limited budget, the target is meant to spread the assistance to as many small-scale miners as possible. But equally, when we also indicate the number of women small-scale miners is to ensure that, again, as part of empowering women, youth, and the disabled, there is a clear allocation in terms of how we're going to be assisting those groupings. So there is a process and a criteria that the committee looks at in allocating the projects. And as to which provinces, that will depend on where the applications are coming from and which qualifying applications, where the qualifying applications are coming from. And then there was a question around the implementation of one ingress water program project, and the question was, what does it entail? It basically entails the investigation of sites, undertaking of water quality assessment, geo-environmental characterization of the site, and the design for passive treatment system for implementation. Members will remember that last week when you went on oversight, CGS took you to one of the sites, and they did, during the presentation, share some of the work that they do in this area. The department works with CGS. It's not a separate process. The implementation and all this work, the department does this work through CGS. And then in terms of the master plans, the six provinces that are indicated are the provinces that we intend to complete the master plans for this year. In the detailed APP, under the MTEF indicators, the honorable member will see that we do have the rest of the provinces for 2023-24. And this was basically initially dictated for by the budget that we have and the procurement process that we are running, but the intent is to cover all the provinces. The ones that we prioritize are the ones where there is a high backlog in terms of unconnected households. There was a question from honorable member around the conclusion of the risk mitigation. The reason the risk mitigation and Big Window 5 are not reflected under those targets is because the RFPs for this project have already been issued. What is pending is for ESCOM to sign the contracts with the IPPs, and both programs, not just the risk mitigation, both programs are now, including between the 5 of renewables, both programs are now delayed. And with the risk mitigation, the department initially had scheduled a signing ceremony for the end of March, which was then postponed at the request of ESCOM, because ESCOM still wanted to go through a number of issues that they had raised. And the new timeline that is set now is end of May. And we believe that it's this time around it's likely to happen, because a lot of the issues that ESCOM had raised have been addressed. I think I need to indicate that the signing of the contract is mainly between ESCOM and the IPPs. So if ESCOM is not available to sign, or they are not comfortable, the signing cannot happen. And all the department can do
can then postpone until whatever concerns or issues that ESCOM has have been addressed. With regard to bid window 5, we've also delayed the program, and we've delayed the program specifically under bid window 5 because many of the bidders have not received what they call the budget codes or connection codes from, actually all of them at the time of postponement had not received those budget codes from ESCOM, and they could therefore not finalize whatever they needed to finalize on their side. So it means that the signing was not going to be able to happen. And we have since postponed as well the signing of bid window 5 to align with the schedule that ESCOM has now given us, indicating by when they would have issued these budget codes to bidders. I thought, members, it's just to reiterate, it's important every time we talk about a postponement that it's not the department that signs the agreements. The department, yes, signs the overall implementation agreement, but it is ESCOM that signs the contracts with the IPPs. And if ESCOM is not ready or is not satisfied with one or other aspect of the program, then they cannot be signing. And hence some of these delays that we have seen happening in the past. The question around the requirements for localization, we have ongoing discussions with the DTIC, and without necessarily speaking to specific bidders or projects, there is a process that the bidders know very well that they must follow if there is any challenge or any aspect of their bid that is becoming a problem. And on the back of that, there is then discussions, ongoing discussions between the IPP office and the DTIC. So the question around what is the department doing, it is part of the process that when bidders have a problem, because I think the starting point is that it's when the bidders put their bids forward, they made a commitment that they will meet the requirements as per the RFP. And if they hit problems, they know the process that they have to follow, which is to consult the project officer, and they also know the process that they have to follow at the DTIC to apply for exemptions and all that. So there is a process in place, and there is ongoing discussions that are happening between the bidders and the department and the DTIC. Acting DG, I think those are the questions that I needed to respond to. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we'll ask the CFO to respond to all the budget-related questions. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, there were two questions from Honourable Marlon on slide 28. On Program 1, why there was a substantial increase? Included in that amount for under Program 1 is additional budget allocation for ICT upgrade, which also includes the mining application system of 84 million. And yes, there has been an increase in leases. Where possible, the offices have merged. Some have already been merged, and there are others planned and in the pipeline for other regional offices to be merged. The working from home is no longer applicable to the department. In terms of DPSA revised regulations, all employees are back at work on a full-time basis. And the reason for the increase in the lease cost for accommodation, private leases from the former DMR didn't go via DPWI on some of the leased buildings, and the cost for private leases are much higher. So that's part of the reason of why that cost is so high under leases. Slide 31, I do take that comment, Chairperson. There should have been a comparator for 21-22, which I can provide a bit later, but the total for 21-22 was 7308 billion, and that breakdown I can provide, as I said, a bit later. 22-23 is 8 2.263 billion. So that was the increase for this financial year. The question under households, under program one, why do we have it? That's just a naming convention, a standard procedure, that standing naming convention that we receive from National Treasury. But an explanation of what these funds are used for, it's for leave gratuity payouts and also for early retirement or resignation benefits. So that's the amount that we usually allocate under this line item. And these are the reasons we pay out, we use them for. That was all for me, Chairperson. Thank you, DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was a question around exploration strategy. Ms. Mwabe will be joining us very soon right now to be in the meeting, and I think she will provide this a response to this exploration strategy, because I know at a point it was not gazetted. We were struggling with the gazetting thereof, and apparently yes, it has been gazetted, but then we're going to get a full response from her in terms of the exploration strategy. And also on the issue around housing allowances, it's like a benefit that we give to employees. It's for those people who have bonds who own properties that they have to pay for, and then there's a little benefit that we get from the from Treasury in terms of these allowances, the housing allowances. That's what we have currently, but then we also have mind health and safety to in terms of the summit and the PPEs that they provide. Can we maybe ask Mr. Bonambi to respond to this question of mind health and safety? Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, Kintichi. Greetings to the PPC, honorable members of the PPC, colleagues from DMR and Mine Health and Safety Council. Good morning to everyone. Firstly, let me through you, Tim Tichy, to firstly apologize on our failures to introduce our new CEO at the Mine Health and Safety Council. My sincere apologies to honorable members. I think there was just a little bit of a challenge when I was supposed to come in, and the CEO came before he could be introduced. We are sincerely apologizing on that. His name is David Mampita. He has been appointed on the 1st of April. He's been with us for a month now. As the chair has indicated, that has been a milestone on the side of the Mine Health and Safety Council in getting a new CEO after the former CEO contract had expired, and we had some colleagues acting in that position. So our sincere apologies on that, Chairperson. And also, as the CEO in his presentation indicated, that the council comprises of a tripartite board represented by the state, the employer, as well as the labor unions. Chairperson, I wanted to also indicate that in the meeting today, we've got representatives from the employers by the name of Dr. Balfour, and also from representing our labor unions at Mines, Advocate Paul Martin, who are also part of the meeting today to assist the CEO in presenting our APP. Now, coming on the questions that were raised around the presentation, and the issues that covers issues of women from Honorable Malinga, I wanted just to indicate that over and above the guideline, Honorable Malinga, that we have touched on issues of PPE, which we prioritized it because of the fact of complaints that we have received from our female employees that some of the PPE that is provided is not suitable for women. So we needed to prioritize that issue, firstly, to make sure that they are comfortable when they are at workplace. But often above that, there are also other activities that the council has embarked on, which is to collaborate, led by the DMRE, with the council stakeholders in establishing women structures in all 9 provinces, so that the issues relating to health and safety and security of women is also enhanced in the space of mining. And another issue that we have done as the council, when the council was established, it only had 3 committees that were reporting to the board. But over the years, we have realized that it would be important that we establish a Women in Mining Advisory Committee, which is going also a standing committee with a strategic plan that focuses on health and safety and security of women. So this advisory committee advises the board on a quarterly basis on all issues that impact on women. And the stakeholders at the Mine Health and Safety Council have also agreed that we need to implement the 5 priority areas, which will include issues of sexual harassment, that normally gets to be experienced by our female employees, issues of wellness, including mental and physical and social wellness, issues of PPE, as we have mentioned, and also addressing the structural career progression issues through a dedicated campaign and customized programs, because we have noted that with the promulgation of the MPRDA, we have seen a number of women who have in the past been not able to work in our mines. So there has been an increase in the number. So with that, we have noted that there are certain areas that we need to work with speed to make sure that they are also accommodated in terms of career progression, because historically that has not been the case. And lastly, the issue of a guideline on the management of gender-based violence and femicide, as well as the security issues of women, because there has been some complaints where women have raised concern that in the underground setup, some of there has been some cases where they've been reported to have been either harassed or attacked by their fellow employees. Hence, we have introduced this guideline that will assist everyone in our space to respect the women in the area of employment. There was also a question around the summit that is coming up as to who gets to be involved. This summit, honorable members, it is informed by the Mine Health and Safety Act, which indicates that the council must at least once every 2 years arrange and coordinate a tripartite summit to review the state of health and safety at mines. What we have been doing, honorable members, all these years is to make sure that the workers who are in the coal face also get to be part and parcel of these discussions, so that we can be able to get their views and also understand whatever measures that we implement, whether are they able to address the concerns and the challenges that they continuously face as mine employees. So I think if maybe there are any additional questions that I might have left out, I will then request the CEO just to add if there's an area which has left through you, QTG.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think you've covered everything that was asked. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think these are all the questions I think that we have answered. I don't see any of them that are outstanding, and but if there are, we can maybe have them, you know, reiterated so we can respond to them, Chairperson. But we have, I think, responded to most of them that have been requested to be responded to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, MRE. I'm trying to check again, honorable members, before I go to to the next matter. But let me say, before I go there, I would have expected, based, if you remember, if I'm not mistaken, it was the last quarter when you came in. We raised issues with regard to your proposed areas, which we said they were lacking specific. And I'm worried even now that when we deal with the budget, specifics are not clarified. I want to see whether are there any new hands, and then I will also allow follow-ups to members who had spoken before. Please, can you also re-clarify? I can't get the sense on your in a program on the scientific method. Even if you, I can't get. It's if there's such a thing in English, it's a bit sluggish. The explanation with regard, maybe I didn't understand what was meant by it. On the issue of the selection of or exclusion of certain provinces, I would be quite interested. Before I add my own things, can I get the members who would be making completely new submissions in the absence of those hands? Can I see the hand of Honourable Mylem? I hope it's a follow-up, and then Honorable Lorema. Is there any other hand then that wants to come in? In the absence of that hand, can I give Honorable Mylem now, and then Honorable Lorema, your follow-up?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, it's just a couple of things that came out for me. First of all, my question about the updating of the IRP was not answered. Secondly, Chairperson, I'm concerned that when I asked a question about the attractiveness of South Africa as a mining destination, and the answer that I received was that we are engaging Frasers to talk to them about their methodology of rating. But that doesn't answer the question that I asked, and that is, what is being done to make South Africa more attractive as a mining destination? Chairperson, I also asked the question on, I think it's slide 16, for clarity on what new agreement are they looking to sign. And then, Chairperson, my last question follow-up is to Ms. Chetty, and it's on slide 31. She said that the line item for households under transfers to entities is about leave payouts, and then the acting DG said it's also for home loans and the like. And my question is this: shouldn't that be under compensation for employees? Because that's effectively what it is. You're giving the employees money. You're not transferring money to an entity for their programs, and you're basically understating what you are compensating your employees by hiding it under a transfer line item in slide 31. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. First of all, I have to say amused by the answer on the Fraser's issue, that the response of the department is there must be something wrong with Fraser's methodology. No, I would suggest there's something wrong with our legislative environment, and the department should look to that. The other thing that I did not hear was a response to my question about the status of the mining exploration strategy. So if I've missed it, could I have it again? Otherwise, could I have it, please?
I've done, Honourable Lorima.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. In the absence of other hands, look, I want to suggest this. I don't want to make it as a question of clarity because we are talking about annual targets, we are talking about annual performance plans, but what we are not sure of is the premise in which you move from. Let me be upfront. Or what we don't understand, or I don't understand, is the premise that you move from. Can I request that within a period of a month from now, can you assist us as a department? Because as I said, what has been the process followed or procedure followed with regards to the merger of the two departments? First, at a structural level in terms of office space, permanent or ownership or rental, and why those choices would have been made. I think it's very important because one would assume that, to be practical, that when two departments merge, I don't know, unfortunately, I know it's a political decision that you may not have control over. But you would have expected that by now, there is, for instance, there is one regional manager. If you remain with two regional managers, why? You will be expecting that you would have your staff under one office. I can't have a picture of a regional manager who will be managing from different from another building and managing the other side. Just give us clarity. How have you handled this merger process and whether that merger would have led to a reduction of cost or more cost and why? That's point one. Point two, it's a request again that within that period of a month, how many people are in those regional offices? Particularly, how many people perform the task of the licensing task? I know energy may not be a difficult one because it's mostly what I would call licenses for fuel or fuel stations. Can we get clarity in the process you suggested, for example, which is why I may have a problem with your annual performance plans, including your target, let alone the budget and what is proposed as employment creation. If I remember correctly well, you made a submission that in order to process a prospecting right, it takes 14 days. And you tried to explain the steps. Now, if it takes 14 days to do a prospecting right, it is important to then get an understanding per average how many prospecting rights would have been processed in a day having been received and how many would have been finalized within 14 days. It's important because, as I suggested, when you bring budget here, we must know you might be sitting with people, two or three people processing one thing. And they must be paid at the end of the month for performance of something that we don't see. I made an example. I said, if it takes 14 days, with the way that you've got a backlog, there might be a suggestion that there are people who are paid on the 15th when the submission would have been made on the 30th or 31st. Then there's the 1st until the 14th. That person would not have received a response. They would not have been proper turnaround time. And
in Israel get paid on the 15th for not delivering anything. So can we get how many people are responsible for processing or for licensing purposes in their different stages, and what is the output? And what could be the reasons not to meet? Because as long as you don't have daily or hourly targets, your annual target, then it means are not informed by the reality that you are having. And that creation of the jobs that you have suggested, we must then weigh whether that creation of the jobs that you have suggested is below par or is above par. So it may be easy to say we want to agree, we will, by virtue of producing so much mining rights or mining permit or exploration process, it will lead to this. Can we get then an average? How many mining rights, having gone through this process, and how many people are responsible for the issuing of mining rights? How many do you have, do you produce per month? So that we can understand. If for me you produce 20, it actually suggests an average. It's about, why, I don't know whether there is 1.5, but if it is 24, it means per month you produce 2. Can we get a sense of that process so that we can see whether there is value for money? One of the things I've made, I said, can the department make us a total costing of its risk management exercise? For an example, the close of the Relington ownerless mine, the issues that we just dealt with now with regards to the issue of the acid mine drainage. There are many other risk areas dealing with the issue of illegal mining. At an average, total average, how much? So that we can know whether your budget that you are putting or you are proposing is consistent, and whether what you are proposing as annual targets and the annual based on your annual performance plan and are informed by the budget, and how do you make your choices on the budget? I'm worried though, acting DG, we will see it when it comes, whether is there consistency on some of the issues, for instance, that you have raised with regards to your performance. For an example, again, on the licensing, if your, what do you call this thing, your prospecting strategy or your prospecting capacity, CGS gives us a different version of what you are giving us. The big question will be, it's either, I'm just making one example, if you like, you can go and see whether you are saying, you'll be saying the same thing with this thing, whether you'll be giving us really a scientific proven point based on what you would have achieved through some of your entities. My worry is that we may get a different submission when it comes to you from your entities with regards to the things that you've raised here. Now, very quickly, which I would have loved again to know, the question with regards to the inspection, I find it very difficult to understand. First, when it comes to your petroleum inspectors, if we don't know how many do you have and what specific qualifications or targets or performance areas that you put in place and where are they located and how many per province, we will not know your annual performance and your annual target. Okay, if we don't know your SLPs, how many do you have, your SLP inspectors? How many do you have, your mine health and safety inspectors? And in which located provinces? And what is the requirement? And from what are the areas of specialties? What are they specializing on? Now, again, I'm sitting here, we only have done one legislation. I'm worried that we are sitting with a second one that we still have to start with it.
But by your presentation, you seem to have almost six, there's almost six presentations. But I'm worried that there is no much expansion or expatiation on the areas or levels of prioritization of those and why and what is the required time frame. So my main worry is that at times most of the things they come in through when we have already done a performance of work as a committee, and we seem to be approving something that down the line it will be proven that it was not necessarily what we had anticipated or thought it is. I think if you can help and clarify me, including the questions that have been asked by the follow-up questions, including on the questions that they were not responded to. Thank you very much, Acting DG. No, sorry, the last point. No, Mr. Mbonambi, it's not necessarily your problem. The issue is that we've got a relationship with the department and it's not a relationship of our choice. It is important that when someone comes and is new, especially given a strategic responsibility as part of the family of the MRE, we're not enemies, we're not antagonistic to one another. The question of accountability also means cooperation and assisting each other. It is never a good thing not to know, okay, there's someone there, then you know, instead of continuing at some point talking to someone who is no longer there until that person tells you that I'm no longer there. It is also important, even when that person is no longer there, to just inform, please note Mr. or Ms. or Mrs. So-and-so or Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so is no longer the person who is in a strategic position. It makes the courtesy relation to be much better in working. So I would have to put it crudely, acting DG, just even anyone who may assist, it's very important that that person when he comes, at least as members who are much more aware, hence now we could not say the person is not being introduced. You only see when it is written, if we have been informed, look, please, for the attention of the committee, be aware that an entity so-and-so has been able to fulfill this position and therefore a Mr. or Mrs. or doctor or professor or advocate, whatever the case that might be, is the person who will be assuming his or her or has assumed their responsibility. I'm just saying it's a courtesy matter. It's not we can't work or operate on the basis of what is prescribed, even on matters of relation. That was my point. So that even that person when it comes in, he can feel or she can feel that he is welcomed in the committee. I know at times people will feel that hey, these people are very messless when they deal with issues of work. But if the person is not introduced, he may assume that the manner or the attitude that members are raising is on the basis that is not welcome, when it may not be not necessarily the case. But can I give you then, Acting DG?
Thank you, Chairperson. Would like to apologize for lack of a courtesy in terms of introducing the new CEO. It was just an oversight from our side, and we should have done so a long time ago to introduce the new CEO. But we then ask you for apology for that, Chairperson. Thank you so much. We do have some, I don't know, Chairperson, if you want us maybe to respond to some of the questions that have been raised, and because I do have Ms. Ngwabe to respond to the exploration strategy that we have, a question around it, and then also the I think the IRP 2019, I think we can ask Mr. Mbele maybe to respond to, and then also ask the CFO about the housing entities, housing allowance for entities, for the SOEs, I think. And then also about the issues around the attraction of South Africa mining, you know, I think we can have a response for that, I think, from Ms. Mwabe as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, it has to be responded, all the questions.
Chairperson, I'll ask Ms. Mwabe to respond. Ms. Mwabe, Dogozo Mwabe, can you please respond to the issues around the exploration strategy in terms of also the attraction of South Africa, you know, in terms of mining? If you do have a response for that, Ms. Mwabe.
Thank you, Acting DG. Apologies. Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. Apologies. I've just walked out of a cabinet. I was presenting the at cabinet. But the exploration strategy was taken through to cabinet in February, and cabinet gave us approval to gazette. So we have gazetted the strategy. And I know, Chair, that there were some challenges with the gazetting. The challenge actually with delays regarding gazetting were actually not on our side. Government printing works was down for the longest time. Their system was not working and they can't do it manually. They can't publish manually. So we struggled a bit with that, but eventually we came right. But in the meantime, while we were waiting for them to sort their IT system out, we did publish the document on our website, and then we continued with the gazetting process. Attracting investments, we will continue then to implement the strategy in partnership with MinTech and other relevant SOEs. But we are also talking to sister departments like the DTIC to participate even on the investment promotion events to ensure that we attract investments and drive exploration into South Africa. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Mwabe. Can we have, I think, Mr. Mbele about the IRP 2019?
Thanks, Acting DG. Acting DG, it's actually the IRP update process is managed under Ms. Mwabe. But maybe I can respond to a question that the chairperson raised. I think it was a question of clarity around INEP, what I meant about the master plans. What I explained, chairperson, was that we will be doing master plans for all the 9 provinces. The grouping was a function of the budget per annum. And the 6 provinces that we prioritize are the provinces where there is a known high backlog in terms of the number of houses that are without electricity. That was the explanation and the response. Thanks, Acting DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. Mwabe, can you maybe respond to the IRP 2019? I think that it was a matter that was raised why we are referring to 2019 when we can maybe update almost, I think, every year around the IRP itself. Thank you, Chairperson.
So, ma'am, on the IRP update, it's really not possible for us to update the IRP every year because a lot of background work goes into the IRP itself. There's a lot of modeling that goes into it. There's a lot of numbers and which we must get and get them to be accurate. That happens. So the target we've set for ourselves at this point is that we will look at it at least every second year. So that will require us to continue modeling. And as the situation changes, then we continue to update until we maybe at a point where in terms of resources, we are able to do it really on an ongoing basis. But I must say, when we presented the last time, we did highlight the challenge with capacity in terms of warm bodies. We have, between then and today, we have managed to employ at least two modelers who are currently working on modeling for the gas master plan. And as soon as they are done, then they will get into the IRP work. But we continue and we are confident that with the finalization of the startup structure, we will be able to get more capacity. And that will really enable us to be able to review on an annual basis. But work is continuing. Colleagues have started to look at a high level at what the changes are, because we are aware the assumptions back then, the situation is totally different from what it is today. And those things we are starting to work on already. Thank you, Tim DJ.
Thank you, Ms. Nwabe. Can Chairperson also will have a response, I think, from the CFO in terms of the housing allowances for the SOEs. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. Just to provide clarity on the follow-up question, the amount that's under transfers under Program 1, it's a standard chart of accounts issued by National Treasury, and it is followed nationally by all departments. So we don't have an option to take these amounts to compensation of employees. Under compensation of employees, it only has the current employees that are within the system. Under households, it has the exiting members and only the leave gratuity and resignation benefits. That's all that's under it. But it is a standard requirement as set down by Treasury. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. That's, I think, all the responses to the questions that were raised. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Lorema, I see your hand.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Just part of my question was answered, but part of it is not answered. If I can just quickly have a two-finger here. With regard to the expiration strategy, it was explained to us by Ms. Nwabe how it came that the gazetting went wrong. But I still didn't get an answer to my question as to what the status was of the policy. What happens next? Is legislation going to follow? Is it going to be regulation? Can that just be clarified for me, please?
Okay. I'll be closing after this. Okay. That's the follow-up of a follow-up, acting DJ.
Thank you, Chairperson. We'll have Ms. Nwabe respond to the follow-up question. Thank you.
Apologies, Chair. I missed the follow-up question.
The follow-up question on the follow-up question is understanding the part that you say it's gonna be, it has unfolded, gazetting. what is the next step? Is there going to be legislation or regulation? What follows next? And and when or how?
Okay. Apologies, Chair. Thank you for that. So the next step is the actual implementation of the strategy. Like I said, all that it means is there's not going to be legislation for exploration. Exploration is covered and regulated under the MPRDA. So what we then need to do is to then do what is contained in the strategy, to say on certain international platforms, we go out, we engage with potential investors. We also support CGS in their quest to de-risk the acreage, so to speak, but also in their quest to publish what is readily, what has been de-risked to some degree on their platform and their website, so that investors can have easy access and they are able to see which minerals they can go into, but also support CGS as they begin to explore in the areas of, for example, battery minerals, and we are able to then draw the attention of investors, for example, into those areas. So that is basically it. It's just the implementation of what is contained in the strategy, but that definitely isn't going to be a new piece of legislation. We are, insofar as legislation is concerned, we are going to continue implementing the MPRDA. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I can read what's in your mind, Honorable Lorima. Let's keep it for our recommendations and observations. Most definitely, I know the next answer, which we are entitled to, is for the committee to have a sight of that exploration strategy.
You are correct, Mr. Chair.
I would also be quite interested, Ms. Mwabe, I know you have presented on the mining charter. Can that be linked to how does it relate to, I don't know how to put it, but most definitely that exploration strategy, I don't know whether which charter do we have. When one says this one, or others, they say no. Remember, only certain parts of it, not it in totality. But maybe if you can also factor in now with regards to, I don't want to say, I don't think with regards to the activities or understanding of activities under the mining charter in relation to that exploration strategy. When the committee takes a decision that it would appreciate to have sight of that exploration strategy. Honorable members, I think we have reached the end of this presentation. What is next, Ari? Apologies. Oh, wait, sorry. Apologies accepted, the acting DG. But can you officially, either you or Mr. Mbonambi, introduce the CEO, the new CEO of Mine Health and Safety Council?
Thank you, Chairperson. I will ask Mr. Mbonambi to introduce the CEO, Mr. David Manpita, but can I ask him to do so? Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, Acting DG, and thank you very much, Chairperson. Let us take this opportunity to introduce Mr. David Manpita, who has been appointed as the new CEO for Mine Health and Safety Council, commencing from the 1st of April. So far, this I think this will be the first month. As the honorable members will know that the previous CEO's contract had expired, so we had to embark on the recruiting of a new CEO, which was finalized and the appointment was made as of the 1st of April. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Mbonambi, Acting DG. Welcome, Mr. Mampita. Ne?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson.
Now you are welcome to by this committee. On behalf of the committee, we welcome you. As a note, maybe you may think this is one committee that the performance of task and the performance of work is very high in the priority, but at the same time, it will always be subjected to a constructive engagement and proposal. So you are welcome. We welcome you, and we appreciate that we are going to be interacting with yourself as far as the your area of location is concerned. Are we going to the minutes now?
Correct, Chair.
Yes, please.
There you go, Chair.
Yeah, the set of minutes of the 1st of April. Let's go to the standard things of where there are corrections. Let's go down. Yes, we're done with opening. Yes. 3, 4, 5. Any mover or second of the limit?
Yes. I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any matters arising? The only matters arising is that, again, let me just make this request. I know we don't have, we are all employees of our organization, but the point we started with, if we can have a much more, I don't know, because we may say something and only to find out that you are lost, but can we go to our individual principals and raise some of those issues that when planning is at an advanced stage. For an example, I can't agree more with the honorable members who are raising issues of concern in terms of accountability. That the short space of time when we deal with the annual the budget of departments as well as their performance plans are very critical. That includes the audit outcomes with regards to the BRRR processes. We need, at least if we could have sufficient time of plus three weeks, because we only need 3 days in essence, or for us it means 6 days to deal with some of these critical issues. Otherwise, the time, I can't agree more, is sometimes very limiting. With regards to the performance of tasks. We are sitting with almost more than how many entities? One thing I know, we have got more than 14 entities if we were to deal with them according to others breaking down even up to 6 entities under a group of one. So I can't agree more that myself, even when I go to the meeting of chairperson, joint chairperson's meeting, maybe it's an issue I've been raising to say, can we get a especially for these two, they are very critical in terms of the performance of task for the committee. I just want to make that appeal that maybe if we do the motivation, even in our own respective areas where we can get an opportunity to engage with our principals, we need to deal with that issue. In the absence of that, is there any other set of minutes, Ari?
No, Chair. Just to say that we're still reconvening at 6 o'clock this evening, Chair.
Oh, okay. Can I deliver my speech then up until the time that was allocated for us to attend the meeting? So, and all of you must remain patiently listening to that address. On that note, honorable members, the meeting stands adjourned until we meet again, hopefully at 6 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.
Thank you, Chair.
Mama Linda.
I know the meeting is adjourned. My apologies. I'm in transit. We couldn't get anything, so just bear with that noise. It's because I'm in transit and I had to respect the meeting and be somewhere where I can be stationed when it starts.
The meeting is adjourned.
Yes.
I'm